We're in a different location in Denver, so that's why you see a different background. It's virtual, it's real. Okay, so you're going to record it from here. Are you coming right?
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, Rabbi Osei, we're going to continue with Hashem from Dav Gimel and Sachin. It's a very interesting Gemaris. Everything that we learn, of course, is the Hashkacha Pratis, the time of the year that we're in. Yemei Aslicha is certainly every Gemara is special and specific in Yanim that we're going to see today, tomorrow, the day after, all in Yanim that, of course, so important in terms of becoming a more Shalim type of a Jew. In Yanim of speech and how important it is to speak properly and so on, the lessons that we'll see. Let's see the Gemara. Continue on in Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. So we're holding right after the Gemara comes to the conclusion that actually there's no machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda regarding when Bidigas Chometz would take place. The meaning of the Mishnah's Arlar Ba'asar clearly means the night of the 14th. Rav Huna used the word Nagi to explain the meaning of Or, because where he lived, they used the expression Nagi as a way of expressing what Or is when it means night. It means night, but they expressed it with the word Nagi, like a Lashon Sagi Nohar, in other words, light, but really meaning night, and Rav Yehuda used the word Leilek. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, but remember what we did yesterday, we saw that the Gemara had proven definitively that the meaning of Or is night, and the last proof of the list was the Braisa that we just read, that Tana, the Beis Shmuel, in explaining the din of the Mishnah, says, Leilek, Arba Asar, Bokhtin Sachamitz. So it comes after the Braisa taught us the halacha of the Tigas Chametz, the night of Yudalid, with the word Lele. The Mishnah here in Sachin begins the Masechta with the word Or, but now we know that it means night. So the Gemara now asks, so now that we said, the Kuliyama bein Rav Huna bein Rav Yehuda, the Kuliyama Or tohu b'lo pligi marki asre, the Asad Rav Huna kari lenagi, the Asad Rav Yehuda kari Lele. The Tana Didan, our Tana, my time Maloka Tani Lele. So why did our Tana choose the word Or when he's referring to the night of Yudalid? We understand that the word Or can lend itself to an interpretation of night, and we know that the Pshat therefore is night. But after all, you see that the Braisa used the word Lele to express the din of the Bidigas Chametz Or Yudalid by using the word Lele. And our Tana chooses to use the word Or. Now, the Ran points out in Chidushi Aran, let's understand better the question. Because, after all, this isn't the only place that we see the word Or used in Mishnayos and Braisos when it refers to the night. We had our whole list that we were bringing that we showed the word Or referring to night, but the word used was Or. We had, going back, right, we had in the Brais of the Issa Malacha, Mishasa Or. We had Rabbi Yehuda, of course, use the Russian Or. That's, of course, could be the same answer, maybe, that we'll use over here. We'll see. We have Masiyah Masuas Ori Buro. We have Hamapeles Or Lishmonim Ve'echad. We have the Or Lishrishi by Nosar Veshlamim. We have Or of the night of Yom Kippur. So why is it suddenly a question on our Tana more than all those other Tanayim? Right, that's the Ran's Ha'ara. The Ran explains the Dafka that the Gemara is asking it over here, because here there's reason to make a mistake. In other words, you see it was a Havamina until we got to Daf Gimel and Aleph. There was a Havamina that the Bidigas Chometz would take place on the Yom of Yudalit. And we figured out that it's not that way. But all the other places, and I have to go through now carefully, all the other places, there's no Makom Tos. Because obviously, you read carefully, you recognize that we're referring to the night, not the day. When did they do Masuos? Of course it was done at night. The question of when you can eat the Shulamim after the second day. So the Or Lishrishi, of course, is the night. The Maariv of Yom Kippur, of course, it's the night. The question specifically has to do with our Mishnah, because after all, you see that the Braisa uses the word Lele. And you see that you could have thought that the Bidigas Chometz is at day, and here the Tana chooses to use the word Or. Now, we have to clarify. Lamaisa, there was also the Mishasa Or that we had in the language of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov regarding regarding the question of when the Issa Melacha and Er Pesach sets in. So there the Gemara had a Shaila and a Shaka Bataria that maybe Shasa Or means Arusa Shachar. The Gemara ends up suggesting that as a way of not proving that Or means Laila. So the question could after all be there as well. The Ran has to speak to that issue. So that the Ran says, but then we can always resolve by saying that since we use the word Or in the Mishnah and beginning of Psachim, so now that we end up saying that Or means Laila, so we can well understand what Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov was doing by referencing the Lashon of Or that we've already established was used by the Tana in Psachim Dav Beis. So the question really ultimately comes down to Psachim Dav Beis and not everywhere else. Because since the Inyan over there has to do with the Inyan of Erev Pesach, so he says, Mishasa Ur, from the time that you do Bedikas Chametz, from the night, which is the Lashon HaMishnah after all, so it doesn't have to be a question on Rabbi Yaakov's usage of the word Or. And I guess the same token, Rabbi Yehuda himself, who uses the Lashon Or, when he talks about the Bedikas Chametz, he's tracking the Mishnah. So the question, after everything is said and done, ultimately falls specifically, squarely, on the Tana of our Mishnah. That's more or less what the Ran speaks out of Kiddushi HaRan. Okay, so why does our Tana choose to use a Lashon that could possibly be misinterpreted, because one could have thought perhaps B'digas Chametz should be by day, as we were thinking until now, why choose the word Or when there's Makom of a Tos? So the Gemara gives us the answer, says the Gemara, Lishna Malya Hudinakat. The Tana wants to use proper language. A Lashon, that's nice. A Lashon Tzach, Rashi will tell us. Or is a nice word to use. We'll see, could be Befrat because it's beginning of a Mesechta. That the Gemara doesn't spell out, so I'm just showing him add that point here. Lishna Malya Hudinakat. The Tana says a Lashon Tov. And for example, this is associated with the name of Rav Shua ben Levi. Could Rav Shua ben Levi, the Am of Rav Shua ben Levi, la'olam al yotzi adam davar miguna mipiv. A person should not let out of their mouth word which is improper, davar miguna. Sharei, where do you see this idea? A person shouldn't speak lashon miguna. Sharei ikei hakasuv shmona osios, la'hotzi davar miguna mipiv. The Torah twists itself in the Psukim to add 8 letters rather than use a Lashon Meguna to say Davar Meguna. Where do you see that? Shenemar. And we go to Parshas Noach. The Pasuk is telling us that the animals that come into the Teva, min ha-behema ha-tahora, who came into the Teva along with Noach? It says in the previous Pasuk there, Vayavo Noach ubana v'ishto v'shevana v'ito ha-teva, v'pnei me'amabu. And then the pasuk follows in Zayin Ches, Gracious min ha-behema tahora, u'min ha-behema asher einena tahora. Rav Shua ben Levi sees in this pasuk an ikum of shmona osios. In what way? Because you have asher einena tahora. And what could have said was, what word u'min ha-behema ha-temeya. Now ha-temeya is how many letters? Hey, Tes Mem Aleph Hey is 5 letters. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi is saying, you have here an ikum of 8 letters because here you have 13 letters. In where do you have 13 letters? In Asher Einena Tahora. How so? Asher, 3. Einena, 5. Right? That would be what? 3 and 5 is 8. And Tahora would give you what? Another 5. How would I give you another 5? Tes, hey, vav, resh, hey. So that's 13 letters. The Torah could have said Temeya, which is Hatemeya, which would have been 5 letters. Yeah. Only Ha'ara, if anyone looked at the Chumash in front of them, they would have a Ha'ara here. What's the Ha'ara? How does the Torah spell the word Tahora in that Pasuk? Chasevav. So really, as spelled in the Pasuk, you don't have a total of Asher Nehra Tahora of 3 plus 5 plus 6, right? You have 3 plus 5 plus 4. That's 12. And what it said, Hatameya would have been 5. So then the Ikum is not 8, it's 7. That's the Masha. Others, you have to know, the Gemara is imagining a little bit with a mullet. This is Rabbi Yeshua Belevi's comment. Not to say a davar meguna. Here we see that for the Torah to use the word tmeya would be rendering it a davar meguna. The Torah wants us to teach us not to use a lashon meguna. Obviously, the Torah uses the word tmeya a lot of times. We'll see in other days, and Gemara is going to raise the question. But the point here is the Torah is teaching us this lesson. And the Gemara is equating this to Alatana's usage of the word or rather than leil. Does that mean that the word Laila is quote-unquote a davar meguna? Is that what the Gemara means? Kidra b'shul b'levi? We're going to see other rayas about the Torah being ma'akim, the letters. But what does the Gemara mean? A pashup shot in the Gemara. You read the Gemara without Rashi. So the impression would be that davar meguna applies to the word tmeya. Tmeya means it's taboo, it's tamei, it's not kosher. And Laila is a lashon meguna. But really, is that so? Rashi is sensitive to this. Rashi says, don't get that impression. There's nothing per se meguna about the word laila. Manishtana, laila is there. But we use laila all the time. Laila is a grammatical word, right? Okay, but or, obviously, is even more enlightened of a word. Or, right? So the Gemara just wants to show you the same way Shulchan Levi tells us how we should avoid a double meguna, la'olam al yotzi adam, as we see in the Pesukim, we see more rais. So too, you see the sensitivity of language. And so the same way davar meguna is considered to be something one should avoid, so by the same token, one should look for words which are upbeat, which are optimistic, which are lashon sach, which are have good associations. What we say and how we hear words, that actually affects our mood, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our whole identity. And therefore, the message of Shulchan Levi is going to carry over in its own way to the Mishnah. That's how Rashi learns that. See in the Rashi. Rashi says, "My time of the question of the Gemara. My time of Tani Lele. What's the question? Kidetani de Mishmuel. In other words, why is the Mishnah not using the Lashon Lele like the Brisa does? Umishani alishna malya kamahader. Explains Rashi. She mitzvah the derech niki hadas." So Rashi explains that the answer of the Gemara is, as the Gemara's words are, Lishna Malya Nakat, that it's a special inyan for people who are sensitive, the Kiyadas, to speak Belashin Nakia. Davar Meguna, this is what Rishon Belevi is saying, Lav Mishum, don't make the mistake, don't assume that that is the equation, that's the equation. Davar Meguna means Laila. Lav Mishum Delele Davar Meguna. After all, the Brisa uses Lele, right? V'hadav shem Belevi ba'alma itmar. He wasn't speaking about our discussion, our issue, our inyan of the word or. Umiyu shamina mina, from Rav shem Belevi, we can now extrapolate lashon chachamim, that the way that chachamim speak, l'chazer acha lashon tzach minaki. Okay, so that is the pshat in terms of the connection between the answer of the Gemara by the Mishnah and the shem Belevi. Asher einena tahor, this is the Shulchan Levi's pasuk, proof pasuk, to the Indian I'm not to be mostly davar meguna. The lok siv habehema hatemeya ki orche, which would be the normal way to speak. Haresh mona osios, ikem hatemeya, Rashi says it would have said hatemeya, that's five letters, chamesh osios, heim. Asher einena tahora, imagine it with above, so then shlosh esve osios. Rashi adds, the afagav de bedoraisa ksiv tameh. We find the Torah uses the word tameh a lot. Shani urche bechad duchta. Lametcha lechaza lashanakia. The Torah changes its normal language in one place in order to teach us the significance of this inyan that we should go to search for lashanakia. Again, that means more than just avoiding lashanaguna. But the higher level that we see in our Mishnah to look for Lashon Nekiyah, that's the Lamedcha. It's not just an avoidance. It's not just an avoidance of Lashon Meguna, and that's the Shulchan Levi's aspect, but what that should now give us more is the Aseh Tov, in other words, the importance of Lashon Nekiyah. It's not just to avoid what we call nibble pair or inappropriate language, but it's also the idea of looking beyond to try to use dafka language, which is positive.
Rebbe?
Okay, yeah.
I'm just wondering, the Mishnah, isn't it a, like, halachic sefer? So isn't it like, I mean, I would understand if this is like an agata, but like, isn't it a halachic sefer? So I'd say the reason is, it seems like the reason is to teach us a lesson. It's not like, it doesn't really relate to the halacha so much. Like, it doesn't, is that, is the Mishnah also to teach us lessons, or is it, or could it, or is it?
There's always, look, there's always what to learn. There's the Iker halacha for itself, and then there's fringe halachas that get brought in. Derech Agav, the Mishnah is teaching things on multiple levels, you know. Anytime you have a situation of an opportunity to teach, you have the information that's being conveyed on one level, and there's also the subtleties of it. You know, as a Rebbe, I can certainly appreciate that idea. In other words, you're not just always teaching information per se. There's also the context and how you say it, and incidental lessons that are learned at the same time. And that's part of what you see in this Gemara. The Mishnah is telling you the halacha b'digas chametz, but it's also choosing to teach me another lesson that has to do with the inyan b'lash and nikiya. If you want to be more of a you know, you will delve into it another level. This is what many of the Sfarim try to develop, that Pesach itself has to do with the inyan b'lash and nikiya. You see how much dibur is emphasized the night of Pesach. See b'tzis mitzvayim. Everyone has heard these inyanim Pesach. You know, okay, that's all so beautiful. The Mesach b'sachim, which ultimately has to do with inyanim that have to do with dibur. And therefore, the Mishnah begins in this Masechta with, okay, that could also be. But even if you don't go there, I think just the very fact that Derech Agav, the Gemara says that has Milsag of Orche Kamash Malan. So the Milsag of Orche can be an inyan of Halacha, like the first Mishnah in Shas, right? The fact that it says Mishas Shakon Machnas Melchal B'Trumasan, instead of just saying that it's going to be at Tzisa Kachavim. So meanwhile, you know that there's an inyan of going to for the Kohen to eat Truma. So that's another Halacha that you get in indirectly. So here it's another inyan of Midas Tovos that you get in indirectly. Yes?
So in Rashi, Rashi said that the Torah uses the Lashon Tana in other places, but uses
right.
One time. So, I mean, but the reason why it wouldn't be the other way around...
So now we're going to have to ask you a question. If Tama is a Lashon Megunah,
then
how can the Torah use it anywhere? Good, that's going to be coming up in Amud Beis. So the question that's being asked is a good one. Rashi is leaving us hanging a little bit. Rashi says the Torah did it one place to teach me this idea. Yeah, but if Olam al Yotzi Adam Davar Megunah, so how can the Torah leave us in all those other places with the Lashon and the Tamei? Now the Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to give a teretz. According to Rashi, those of you who stumble and learn the Gemara, the answer is going to come down to there's a trade-off here. There's an inyan of avoiding the Davar Megunah, which is obviously a value not to say Davar Megunah. There's going to be the counter value of Lashon what? Lashon Ketzara. According to Rashi, that's the trade-off here. So the Torah would opt for Lashon Ketzara even at the expense of having a Lashon Megunah. It's according to Rashi. Other Rishonim have different ways they actually separate between the two issues. We'll have to see on other days. Now, let's ask a question before we go on to the next part of the Gemara with other details of the Ikum. I mean, really, there's a Ha'ara one also could ask, separate from the question we asked about the Lashon, how it's spelled Tahora. Is this the first time the Torah uses the expression by Noach of Behema Asher Inena Tahora? If you know Parshas Noach a little bit, or you looked it up, you notice this pasuk is describing the story of entering the Teva. Like it says, Tupsukim, Vayas Noach, it says it earlier, Vayas Noach, Tzitz Hashem, Noach was 600 years old, the Mabul began to fall, Vayavo Noach, and it goes on, and next pasuk, Minah Behema Tahora. These are the things that came along with Noach into the Teva. Now, why did these animals come into the Teva? Because Hashem told Noach that he has to have with him in the Teva the different species of animals. If we go back a few psukim, Hashem speaks to Noach and says, "Boa tavcho beischalat, it is the tziboy v'kadosh baruch. You should go into the Teva. Mikol ha-behema ha-tahora tikach ha-shiva shiva ish v'ish. They'll take from the kosher animals seven sets. Umin ha-behema asher lo tahora hi shnai mish v'ishto." So Hashem is telling Noach that he's to take the what? Not the behema tmer, the behema asher lo tahora. So one could also infer from that pasuk seemingly the same lesson that the Torah is trying to avoid a lesson of Davar Megunah. So why does Rabbi Levi focus on the latter pasuk? The latter pasuk is speaking about the animals themselves who came into the Teva, and not the pasuk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibor to Noach himself. That's a ha'ara that also can be considered. Again, there are suggestions that are being made. You can look a little bit in the Farshim for something to notice. But Maisa, we have so far Shumalevi's count of 8, an ikum of 8. Now we're going to have other Tanayim, other Amorayim, they're going to show you how far the Torah went in, or Tanakh went, in trying to avoid Lashon Meguneh, Davar Meguneh, and as a result, having to add letters. So Shulman Levi came up with the number 8. Rav Papa comes up with a different number from a different pasuk. Rav Papa Amar Teisha. He says, I can show you how the Torah is ma'akim 9 letters to avoid Davar Meguneh, and he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Kisetze. Shenema, ki yeh v'cha ish, asher lo yeh tohar mikrei layla. This is a pasuk in Kisetze. If somebody becomes a balkari, so the yotzel v'chutzal machaneh, he has to go out of the camp, and he can only come back with nos erev, when Herav Shemesh, he goes to the mikvah, he's tohar. So how does the Torah describe this individual? Ki yeh v'cha ish, asher lo yeh tohar mikrei layla. Why does it say asher lo yeh tohar? Could say ki yeh v'cha ish asher. What could it say? Ish tamei, mikrei laila. So instead of saying ish tamei, which would be 3 letters, it added asher lo yeh tohar. So asher lo yeh tohar. Let's add that up. Asher is 3, lo is 2, 5, yeh is another 4. That would be what? That's 9. And you have Tohor, which is counting here as 3, right? So that means 12. And the Torah could have said, what? Ki yeh v'cha ish tamei mikrei layla. Would have been 3 letters. So instead of saying 12 letters, you have 3. And therefore, the Torah is ma'akeh 9 letters, 9 extra letters. Ravina Amar, actually, look at the fine print of that pasuk. It's written, asher lo yeh Tohor. There the pasuk is written, Tohor Malei. Therefore, it's not actually 9, it's actually 10. Eser, why? Vav de Torah. Interesting. So the machloka seems to be whether we look at whether the ikum of the extra letters includes the way the Torah wrote it with the vav of Torah, or do we imagine it without the vav? What goes into the cheshbon of how much the Torah is ma'akid? So that's another expression of this idea of the Torah going out of its way to avoid saying the word tamid.
Wait, you're saying it's a Rabbi saying it's a machlokas?
That's what you see in the Gemara, right? The first count was Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that we consider this to be an extra 9 letters, and Ravina says it's actually an extra 10 because the way it's actually appearing in the Chumash, it's written with the vav. So the question is, does the fact what's considered the ikum? Does the extra ikum that the Torah is using, do you actually count in that number the fact that the Torah could have said it without the vav, but Torah with the vav?
Yeah.
What exactly is machokis about? I'm not sure. This is what you see in the Gemara, 2 possibilities, how to do the math. Rashi says, Asher lo yeh tohor, habele yeh michtav, it could have written ish tamei, right? Ki yeh b'cha ish tamei mikrei layla. That's what it could have said. Instead, right, it said, ki yeh ish b'cha ish asher lo yeh tohor mikrei layla. B'chi nami mashvis l'tohor chasavav, Rashi is trying to accommodate the first of the 2 opinions, namely Rav Papa, that even if you want to not look at the extra vav as being an ego, because the Torah didn't have to have the vav. So that doesn't go into the count of what the Torah went out of its way to do, because the Torah could happen to be with the vav. But you want to know what is considered to be the Torah went out of its way. The Torah could have done without a vav. So Rav Papa says, I'm not going to cheshbin in the extra vav of Torah as part of the ego. It so happens the Torah chose, once the Torah wrote the word, well, your Torah, the Torah wrote with the vav. But you want to know what's considered to be that the Torah bent over backwards not to avoid the word tamei. So for that, I'm not going to include in the cheshbin the fact that Torah wrote Torah with a vav. That's the argument about Papa. So it's not going to count as 10. It's going to count as what? As 9. That's what Rashi is explaining here for us. The kinami mashvis the Torah chasavav, even if you want to treat the Torah, ignore the vav there because it didn't have to be there. So that's not necessarily viewed as a Torah went out of its way with the extra vav, because it didn't have to have the vav. Ikam Tesa. Sharei Shtim Esmeyesh. You have 12 letters if you have Torah without a Vav. The Tomei and Elisholosh. So that would be the count that there'd be a 9 as opposed to Rav Shulman Levi's 8. That is the Pichita of Rapapa. But now Ravina says, Vav de Tohar, do halo chasehu. So it's not chaseh. So Lamaisa, what is in front of us, what is the ikum that the Torah did? It is in fact 10 letters. Something to think about exactly what is the nekuda here that one counts the Vav in the ikum, one doesn't. This is increasing the numbers of letters that you see the Torah whenever it's ready to avoid tamei. Now comes an even bigger number. Rav Acha, he's going to find another pasuk, not in Chumash, but in Navi. Rav Acha by Yaakov Amar, I have an example that the pasuk goes out of its way to avoid using the word tamei, and thereby ends up adding 16 letters. Sheish Esve, Shenema. What does it say in the pasuk there? By Shaul, that David HaMelech, he was, of course, afraid of coming too close to Shaul, and there was the whole situation. We read Machal Chodesh, where they had the sign, him and Yonah's son, that David would not appear because he got the message that probably Shaul was not going to be happy to have David. So, Ki Amar Mikra Hu. So, the first day he didn't show up. So, what did Shaul say? Ah, today, Mistamba, he couldn't come and eat by my table, Rosh Chodesh, first day Rosh Chodesh, because he's a Balkari. So, what he assumed the first day. The second day, of course, he got more upset. How come he didn't come today? So, what did he say the first day? Ki Amar Mikra Hu, Bilti Tor Hu, Kilo Tor. So, what is the ikum here? What could they have said in the pasuk? Ki amar mikre tamehu. Mikre tamehu, an incident of keri, which is metamehu. So if you would have said mikre tamehu, you would have just had 3 letters of tameh. Instead, you have the following extra words. Bilti, how much is that? 4. Tohor is another 4, is 8. Hu is another 3, is 11. Ki, 13, lo is another 2, is 15, tohor is another 4, that's 19. So 19 is what you have by the psukim, the letters in front of us. What could it have said? Could have said just ki ama mikre tamehu. That's 3. So instead of having 3 letters, ki amar mikre tamehu, it's saying 19 letters. So 19 minus 3 is obviously an ikum of 16. This is according to the Cheshbon Racha by Yaakov. The funny thing is, Yaakov Emden points out in the back in Hagos, really, the whole thing is like, what does he have to say, kilo tohor? I mean, there's anything, even with the ikum. I mean, there's something here that anyway seems to be extra. Because mikri tohor, bilti tohor. What do you have to say, kilo tohor? I mean, we're counting that as part of the ikum, but that sounds like anyway that's redundant. So like, we're using that apparently to emphasize that part. We saw before Shai when the extra vav of Tohor is part of the ikum or not. According to our Papa, it's not because the Torah could have written without it. So, according to Ravina, okay, the Lamaisa and Torah wrote it anyway, so it's part. So maybe that wouldn't be as much of a kasha. I'm just thinking myself. But according to our Papa, the Torah didn't have to say the vav, so we're not going to count that in the Cheshbon. So what's the kilo Tohor? What is that adding anyway? So anyway, that's extra. So why is that considered to be part of the extra letters of the ikum? It's anyway extra, right? The kasha says of Yaakov Emden, very nice. He says like this, because the issue here was eating by the table of Shaul. It was chulin. It wasn't kodesh, right? They weren't eating kachim or truma. So elamai. So what's the big deal with tamei? The answer is there's a maigo called eating chulin betahara. Right? There's a mail for prushim to be makpid even on chulin if you're tamei not to eat it. As a matter of fact, the minig that we have coming up during our seres mitzvah, that we avoid eating paspalta, for example, during certain days of the year, that week of between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the original makor is from Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi is actually discussing that a person, he wants to eat no egg to be eating chulin b'tahara, so do it during these days, seres mitzvah. It's a certain level of precious to eat chulin b'tahara. So this is what we find in Gemara. A lot of times there's an inyan of eating chulin b'tahara. Now, we know that when it comes to a balkari, tamei goes to the mikveh. could be any tumah really, but goes to the mikvah. So now that person is considered to be in the status of what? They went to the mikvah, but they didn't yet get to eat tful yom. What's the lach of tful yom? A tful yom can't yet eat truma. Bishash according to Chanasim lachal b'truma, sun is only a hair of shemesh. But a tful yom can eat nicer. And certainly a tful yom can eat chulin. Even if you're matlin chulin b'tahar, it's not going to be a higher standard than meiser. Meiser is mutter for tful yom. So Memela says of Yaakov Emden, what Shaul was trying to say is as follows: why didn't you come to Maisuda to eat chulin b'tahara? Nikre tahar lo tahar hu, ki lo tahar. Number one, he's a malkari. Aye, but he could have gone to the mikvah. He could still eat chulin b'tahara once he went to the mikvah. Ki lo tahar. He didn't go to mikvah either. So he's not even a tful yom either. He had no opportunity to go to the mikvah. Says of Yaakov Emden, but now you see why it's part of the ikum. Because let's say he would have just said mikre tamehu. Bottom line, mikre tameh, he's tameh, so he can't eat. He's tameh. So the only reason he has to add kilo tohar is because he didn't want to say tameh. So he says mikre lo tohar, he has to say, oh, lo tohar, but still it could be a tful yom, kilo tohar. He didn't go to mikveh either. So it comes out that the kilo tohar had to be part of the language dafka because of the fact that he didn't want to say the word tameh. It's very gishmak. That's where Yaakov ended in the back. Okay. Either way, we have the various ways to cheshbon out that the Torah or the Pesukim don't want to use a lashon neguna, and this is therefore how it relates back to the Mishnah Bayetz. Now, there's an interesting thing. The Maisa the Braisa does say a lashon of lele, right? So what accounts for the fact that if there's such a beautiful idea for a Tana to use a Lashon Nekiya, Lashon Sach, Lashon Or, so why did Tana Devei Shmuel use a Lashon of Leila? Like, for Rashi, it's not per se Davar Meguneh, but it's certainly Lashon Sach to say Or. So why only the Tana Devei Mishnah? Why not the Tana Devei Brais? So there are a couple of Mahalchim and Rishonim in this question. If you take a look in the Ran, the Ran brings one pshat, which we'll see more about in the Baal HaMor. And Lamaisa, the Rambam Pirshei Mishnayos, I think, is al derech zeh. And then the Ran brings another pshat, which is what the Ravid says. The Ran says as follows. I'm going to see the Ran in the back. Daf Aleph and Daf Yerif toward the bottom. Lishna Malia v'tan v'dan by tamu v'tan lele shu yasu lashon nevuah. That's why you should say lele. It's lashon nevuah. Clearly, it doesn't have any other meaning. But night lishna Malia nakat she mitzvah v'derech nikiy hadas v'daber v'lashon nikiya. He's basically paraphrasing k'mat lashon Rashi, right? Dove neguna lav mishum de lele lashon neguna elo kivan de midrav shu belevi shaminan. So the Ran says a little bit more than what we have in Rashi. He says, because of the inyan of Lashon Sach, so the Tana wants to begin his opening words of Mishnah Pesachim, right? The beginning words coming out of the Tana are, like it says in the Pasuk, this is in course, in Ashis Mimei Derech, you have, it's actually today Tzilim Hayom is starting Kuf Yutes. Those who say Tzilim, I try to say Tzilim now and El, especially every day. So if you're up to Chaf Hei in the month, you know what I'm referring to. Kuf Yutes gets 2 days because it's so long. Every letter has 8 sukkim. So all talks about Torah, the godless of Torah, the big school, you're connected to Torah to say this. The pay has one of the pays is Pesach Berech Yair. Mevin Pesayim, like Machimas Pesi, Mevin Pesayim. So what does that mean? The opening of your words, Pesach Va'ir, should be lighting up. So that Melitza is used by the Rani and the Baal HaMor as a way of explaining the Tana of the Mishnah. That the Tana of the Mishnah is beginning of Mesechta. So beginning of Mesechta, you want a Ya'ir, like you want to use a Lashon of Or. Lashon. This is Kamat the Rambam as well in the Pirsha Mishnah. The Rambam in Pirsha Mishnah says that the choice of the word or, he says, really, it's like or means night because we use this a lot. It's like a melitza, it's a metaphor. It's like a lashon sagi nor. And as a result, the lo tia psichas ha-sefer b'shem herdem in ha-deir matzalom alayla. We don't want to begin the book, the sefer, with something which is negative, which is the opposite of light. So it's a beginning. So what basically this does is it solves the implicit question of why doesn't the Tana and the Braisa start use the word or. And the answer, the Balmor spells it out even more, we'll get to the Balmor soon, that the Tana Braisa wasn't saying this as the first halach. He was explaining the Mishnah, and it might not be the first halacha that he's discussing. So Menela, the word Lele, is nothing wrong with Lele. But if you're using the first words that you're opening now with Mesach Tetzachin, Pesach Berach Yair. So that's one suggestion that the Ran brings. That's the first Pshat in the Ran. Now continues the Ran, B'Shem HaRaivi. We'll soon see the Raivi inside too. The Raivi is Masig in the Balamor. You can understand, you know, because Lamashal, all those other Braises that we saw, right? Or Hamapelis, Early Shmonet Echad, or Iburo, it also says or. And over there, you're not going to have the answer of the beginning. It's not the beginning. So you have to know. All those other cases, you use the Lashon or. Yeah, but then we said we don't have a problem necessarily. The Kashi was never on those cases anyway. The Ravids, says they're on another terrace. Interesting terrace. And this is going to have halachic implications for Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. Because of HaRaivid Zal, the Mishum Hachi Nokat Or, Lomar Shebetchilas HaLaila, Sheyesh Bo Or Adayin Ro'i Livdok. The reason why I choose the word Or, it means night, yeah? But the time for the Bedikah, the optimum time is Betchilas HaLaila. Betchilas HaLaila means that it's not totally dark yet. There's still a little bit vestige of light. That's when you should begin the Bedikah. Roy Livdok, that's the best time. Why? What's the reason for that? The Ran gives an explanation. Kedei shelo yisrashel o shelo yishkach. Because we have a concern, the person may end up being lazy, forget about it, he won't do it. Therefore, the first moment, do it mamish b'tchilas halayla, when there's still a little bit of or. The kevan, the osa shot, you'll ask, you know, I both say, if that's the pshat, then what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying something different. The Gemara is saying it's because of what? Because of Lashon Nekiyah. And the Rabbi is giving his own pshat. What has it go with the Gemara? Says the Ran here. Here's the pshat. The Kevin Dosa Shah Kushtahu Sheyesh Ba'or. Since the Maisa, the Tchias HaLaila, there's still a little bit of or. Tana or Mishuish Amalia. The Lo Tana, the Tchias Yel Yedalib Bokness Achamis. In other words, if the Tana's Kavana was simply to teach me to do it right away because you're going to get lazy, you might not do it, so he could have said, B'tchilas HaLaila. He could have used the word Laila, just added some added word that indicates B'tchilas HaLaila. Why does he get that idea to you by using the word or, that you know or means Laila, but he uses or to tell me when there's still a little or? The answer is because of Ishmael. Without that, then he could have alternatively just said, B'tchilas HaLaila.
Already.
Well, wait, finish the Ran a second. There's another few words. B'imlo mipnei tamzeh, if it weren't for what I just said, mipnei lishna malya, lo yasham hatana choshech l'or. Now maybe the whole point is because of the lishna malya idea. Says the Ran, if it was just that, not because of what I'm adding, that he wants you to do it earlier on, he wouldn't have wouldn't have changed the meaning of Laila to Yom to use the word or for Laila. Mikana Talamed Shabir Tzorch Adimo Mohayom Dishlo Yisrasha Elud Vavzal. Question. Now we have to delve into this a little bit more carefully, what the Rabbi actually told us, the halacha. But what the Rabbi is saying is that there are really two things going on. One of them is spelled out in the Gemara, one is not. The Rabbi is explaining that there's a chidush in using the word or, that it's indicating at what point of the Laila, at the point that is still Shayach Ta'or, meaning B'tchilas HaLaila. And that's why the Tana used the word Or to teach me that halacha, but why use it that? Why do it that way? He could have just said B'tchilas HaLaila because of Lishna Malia. But Lishna Malia alone wouldn't have been enough of a reason to change the meaning of Laila to use the word Or. So you have to always add the point of the Rabbi is saying, and this is a halacha b'digas chametz. Now, question. What a question?
I did, but Rabbi answered it.
I answered it. But now there's a big tumor about the side. What does the Rabbi say to halacha then? Yeah, Benjamin.
Oh, according to the Rambam, lichamali doesn't necessarily mean nucky. It seems like it means just shorter and quicker. Because he said it could have meant chilas alayla, and then...
I don't know if he means shorter. I don't think he changed lichamali. Still, it's a nice word. I don't think the Rambam means to say that it's a shorter way of saying
it. We said it. He really means tchilas alayla, that's right. Halacha.
Right.
But then just use or after that to make
right.
a better lashon.
A better word because it's nice. It's a nicer word to use. Mm-hmm. It's still a nicer word. So the choice of conveying tchilas alayla by using words because lishnamalia. So that's how the Rambam sees it. A new dimension that gets inserted into the Gemara. A new dimension
also,
that has halachic consequences now. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, according to the Rambam, does every time it says or, it means...
We'll get there. So now you're asking good, we'll get there. So it comes out, you're going to want to know, what about all those other places? So the Rambam is going to actually plug it in. And it's going to be very interesting to see what that means practically. Let's start, the Rambam did not bring any of the other examples, the Rambam did. So we're going to get to the Rambam inside in just a few minutes. But let me make everyone aware of what seems to be a very important machlokas, and it even carries over halacha. In this regard. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, we're going to see a daf from now, daf dalet, and we're going to talk about this inyan of zuriz and magdim l'mitzvahs, and the inyan of not getting too involved with learning. These halachas are important in Shulchan Aruch. When it's time for bedikas chametz, you should be very attentive to do it as soon as you could. So this rabbi is going to re-emerge over there, a daf from now. This rabbi is telling us you should do betchilas halayla. The rabbi gives the explanation, shema yisrashel, shema yishkach. So now, halacha l'maisa, based on this ravid, what does that mean? When should bedikas chametz be done? Now, on that, based on the aleph, we saw that the day ends at what point? The day technically ends at what point? Add something yimamahu. What does the Gemara say? That's exactly our question. Does the ravid therefore mean that you should do bedikas chametz at shkia? The sun is setting, there's still a little bit of or, it's Ben Hashmashis now. It's basically soon Ben Hashmashis. It's not Yotzeis HaKochavim, but Bedikas Chametz, the optimum Zman is at Shkia. Or does the Betchilas HaLayla of the Ravid mean at Yotzeis HaKochavim, but Niyad Yotzeis HaKochavim? So this is a very big machlokas. I began to notice how interesting it is. Even within Mishonim, you see different indications. I think I gave you a few Marmakomos on this. I'll give you a sense of how you know, how diverse the opinions are. L'mashal, here you have it in your Kovetz. We showed him that quote arrived. So you have a Talmud of Ramban that's quoting Yachidush HaRim Min Arbuna. One of the Rishonim, Talmud of the Ramban, they tell you in the beginning, Talmud HaRamban. He quotes the Ravid. We haven't seen the Ravid yet inside. We'll soon get to it. But he quotes the Ravid, and his lashon is, the Tocha Dvar, I'm just going to quote you from that one line. He says, HaRavid Al-Kasav, I, the Torah says, many times Laila, why here do they change the word Laila to Minyom, to say Or? He says, it's Lo Lachinam, El Lamed, Im Or Hayom Tzarech Lasos. Sha'afbi Sheyesh Adayin Or Hayom, but we treat it like Laila. Kan Ratsa Lomar, Im Shtia Sachama Yivdok. Lashem Harim and Arbuna, exactly what we just stated. Im Shkia Sachama Yivdok, and he gives the Hesper, Shelo Yisatzel, Olo Yashud and Lach Acheres. And he goes on why you have to still come out to Lishnamalia and so on, like the Ram said. You need it to be that it's still daylight, but it's already beginning to become dark. So Shkia Sachama is what he says, is what the Rabbit says. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, one of the others shown in the Sefer HaMichtan is mashma, like you'll see in the Shabur quotes it this way, Betchilas Halayla, right after Tzeis HaKochavim. The lashon of the Sefer HaMichtan, and he quotes the Ravid, he writes, V'tiret al kol davar shu betchilas halayla, shehu im he'osef or hayom. Now, im he'osef or hayom sounds like with the gathering in of the light of the day. That means that it's when the day is now over. It sounds like to me like after Shkia, not Shkia time, but Tzeis HaKochavim. Now, even in the post, when you see this, I found the Bach in Sinatafra.
If you're
Yeah, go ahead.
if we're going to go along the route of saying it's appointed seis, then how's that? That's not a set time, as in when you would have to spell out more, like 5 minutes before it says 10 minutes.
No, it could be the second mamish by seis. Let me give you some more mamakomos. Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam is one of the Rishonim also on Chametz Matzah Beis Gimel. Also quotes the Raavad, he seems to say Skia. He says, because of a Raavad, this is the Raavad's Hasagas on the Balamor, that's what we have it on the page, soon we'll see it. Af Bisha Tama Nosin Tama Or Yadalid, because of Lishna Malia, that's what the Gemara says, that's what we read. Iker Hatam, who Kim Or Hayom Sarah Haskil, Achar Skia Sachama Miyad, Rashan Abinu Manoach. Achar Skia Sachama Miyad, according to Rabbeinu Manoach, immediately after Shkia is when you should do Bedikas Chametz. So says the Bach. The Bach quoted from other Rishonim that they say you do it at Seis HaKochavim. And the Bach says, he brings Minhagi, Isaac Tirna, and others, Mitzvot HaBedika Belayla Mamish. Avalo Kodem. He brings some others that they say, not before Laila. Nira Iker Kedivei HaRaivid. The Ein Safik She'en Lo Ra'u Divei HaRaivit V'zeh. Says the Bach, they didn't see the Raivit. They said, not before night. A lot of times we have mitzvahs and we say, you have to wait for Laila. According to the Raivit, according to this interpretation, you're not waiting for Laila. Bedavka, you're not waiting for Laila. Bedavka not. The Bach says, no. They didn't see the Raivit. Lo Kodem, to the contrary. Kodem Laila, when it's still a little Ya'or. You look in the Magen Avram on the Shulchan Aruch. Wait. Taflam and Aleph. The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch. Betchilas Leil Yedaled B'Nisan. Both Knesach Chametz Or Aner. Betchilas Leil Yedaled. Says the Magen Avram. Pirush Samuch L'Knisas Halayla. Now go figure what those words mean. What does it sound like to you, Magen Avram? Samuch L'Knisas Halayla sounds like what? Before it says, right? Maybe not like the Ben Manoach said, right after Skia, but during Ben Hashmashes, for sure. That's what it sounds like in Magen Avraham. Then you start looking on the other Nosi Kelam and the Shulchan Aruch, and you have a different perspective. The Chok Yaakov says, and there's a Prichadash here, and they start saying, it's Seis HaKochavim. There's a Primigadim here, the Primigadim says, Samach Nisus HaLayla, means you don't wait for Chashecha Mamish, a little bit before Seis HaKochavim. L'maisa the Mishnah Bura, I'm not mistaken, you can check it, he says, Miyad by Seis HaKochavim, and he quotes those Achronim who are interpreting the Raavad Kinira to mean B'tchilas HaLayla Seis HaKochavim. But L'chora, here the Prima Gadim is very interesting, he says, let's look at the Raavad. The Raavad didn't just talk about B'dikas Chametz. And here's where we begin to think about what the Raavad could have meant by looking at the larger context. The Raavad was discussing the word or used in all of those various places. So now let's look together at the Raavad. It's the Raavad's Hasagas on the Balamor, so it's on the same page as the Ran. I think, was it Ezra who had a question before? Someone's got a question?
The Bach quoted some sefer,
Minhagim of Isaac Turner, that don't do it lifnei Laila. Says the Bach, they didn't see the Raavad. And that's because the Raavad saw the Bach saw the Raavad like we see in others interpreted the Raavad that way, that it's Shkia Sachama or Samach L'Tzeis, but before Tzeis. And that's the whole point, then it's still Or. If you're saying after Tzeis, it's not Or anymore. That's the Shaila. So again, halacha ma'aseh, I'm not paskening. We're saying pshat in the Raavad. At the end of the day, Raavad is only the Raavad. It's not the only pshat in the Gemara. But if you want to go with the Raavad, the shaila is what did the Raavad really mean? So take a look. This hasagos of the Raavad that are found on the page of the Balamor, they're actually printed as a separate sefer called Kasuv Sham. And I have it. I've read it. Hasagos of Raavad al Balamor. And there's actually a sentence that's not here on the page that I'll read to you. And that's one of the braises that got left out in the printed edition of the Sogas HaRaavad. That's the one about Yom Kippur. Yeah, Aryeh.
I don't really understand that Safa say that the Raavad meditates. Like, where it defeats the whole purpose.
Because you're saying it has to be Or. So the only thing I think I could tell you is the favor I mentioned. Aryeh is asking, how can it be Tzeis? He's saying it has to be Or. But the Sefer HaMichtam, maybe he helps, because the Sefer HaMichtam put it, Im he'asefa or, meaning to say, it's or, meaning, he takes the right to mean, that mamish, as soon as the or disappears.
Ki'ilu, right?
That would be tzeis. No, that's ben hashmashes. Ben hashmashes means sadikim sadik laila. Then you have tzeis, it's bad laila.
Before tzeis, like right before tzeis, is still considered to be light outside?
Until it says it's Shafik Yom. So there's a Tzadik Yom there. So as soon as that Shafik Yom disappears, that would be the or. And that's you're right. Pashtus, I would agree. The Pashtus and the Raiva is here. But it's even more indicated, it's more clear from the Raiva himself. Take a look at the Raiva. The Raiva, Iker Hasag is on the Balamar. The Balamar will read separately. But the Raiva, take a look on the page here. He says, Omar Avram, he's masking on the Balamar's Pshat, which is what the Ran brought in the beginning. That it's about Pesach the Berachah Ya'ir. Says the Raiva, Zatam Engel Tam, okay, pun, Zatam Engel Tam, this reason has no taste, right? The Chiroshna Ulashana Tan, a Russian or, El Psychas Dvara, it's only the Psychas Dvara that you have a Russian or, Harry Hamapelis, Oshman the Echad, Yacho Ye Necha, or Gimel, and so many others. The old Atam Nileka Laila, the Mishnah, the Braisa, there are many times you have Mishnah, you said, say Mishnah or Laila. Umar Rama or the Mixas and the Komos, Mixas and Omnu Laila. Why are we switching? Sometimes it's or, sometimes Laila. Abu Atam HaBorur. So here's the Rabbi's own shot. Atam HaBorur, Shekol HaMakomos, Shehutzarech Lahakdim, Retchilas HaLaila, Lashon HaRabbi. All those times that you have to do it earlier, Retchilas HaLaila. Kigon bedigas chametz, number one. Umasien masuos, when they did the torches, ori buro was betchilas halayla. Tani or, nipnei sheadayin yesham or hayom. So the rabbi uses one lashon betchilas halayla, and he says doing it then when there's still or. So far he's talked not just about bedigas chametz, but also the ceremony of conveying with the torches about kiddush hachodesh yom lan. The Eino Choshech. It's Yeshem or Yom. Eino Choshech. Kidichsiv HaChoshech Kor HaLayla. HaMapeles Or L'Shmoni Ve'Echad. What's that? When did the miscarriage occur? So now he gets to that case. If according to Beis Hillel, there's a new Chi of Karban. When did it occur? After Tseis or after Shkia? What do you think, Rabbo said? When is it already going to be according to Beis Hillel, a new Chi of Karban? After Shkia or after Tseis? No, not so posh, right? Hamapelas of just biyachol yehinecho or l'shlishia, but this is a little easier. Can you eat the shlamim meat on day two after shkia until tzeis? What do you say, Rabbi say? What's the or over there? Yachol yehinecho or l'shlishia? No, can't. So what's the pshat? Can you eat? That's the prima gun and brings these Azarias. He says, l'chora, can you eat after shkia? No. So the or over there means before tzeis, after shkia. The writer brings that as well. All these are meant to teach you something. What? Shalom Toma. That you shouldn't say, as long as it's still light. It should be viewed as the previous day because it's still light. So after Shkia, the second day, but the Shlamim, it's still light in the sky. I can still eat I can still eat my carbon, my meat. So what's the Chiddush? No, you can't eat it or the Shlishi, even though you can still see the daylight of Yom HaSheni. And Masi and Masuos, they would already do it when it's still after Shkia, but still a little light, they'll already get the message out. Why is it important to do that? They need more time. Maybe they need more time. Or maybe they want the people not to take off malacha on the night of the 31st, thinking it might be Rosh Chodesh. They said, no, it's not Rosh Chodesh tonight. You can do malacha. But it was earlier. Don't think it's still connected to the previous day. Ukach shanu behem or. V'chein timtza kol makim shashana or l'tzorech shina'o. The Tana, the Mishmuel, Shashana Laila, Bala Farish, Hamishna, Kikin, Derech, Habaris, and Sabaris, and Mishnais. Just explain the Mishnah. Now, what did the Rabbi leave out? The Bosai in here, the Rabbi here. What's left out? What's left out in the Rabbi? Which example? Which example didn't he address? On that Gimel? No? Yesterday's Shir. What didn't he address? Or Yom Kippur. So if you open the Sefer Kasuv Shem, Kasuv Shem, rather, Kasuv Shem, Hasogas,
there are some Gersos that have it.
In yours? Oh, you're lucky. Not mine. Okay, I had it, but I had good Gemara. You have it. Okay.
Right.
So,
parentheses.
Parentheses. Okay. Yoshikayach. I have the Sefer. Okay, I read it from the Sefer. So, V'chein timsa, v'chein, after the words, v'chein timsa, v'kol makum shashana or l'tzorach mishne, v'chein, and this is talking Yonah Dioma, so mentioning it, or Yom HaKippurim, mispao shava misvada, the vidui of Leil Yom Kippur in your Ma'ariv, or Yom HaKippurim, why does it say or? Gam hu l'tzorach mishne, shlo ye'achem milisvados, don't daven a late Ma'ariv on Leil Yom HaKippurim with your vidui. Lo ye'achem, so that the entire day has already the ritzui of Yom Kippur. Interesting. This is not exactly the famous Ramban. There's a famous Ramban in Yuma, at the end of Yuma, that learns Pshat in the Gemara there, that there's an inyan to do the vidui before Yom Kippur comes in. L'fnei Hashem titaru, which is what some people are mekayim with Tfilah Zakah, which is a vidui, that you should have a vidui that you come into Yom Kippur in the state of confession, a state of tshuva. The Rebbe is saying in his own way. The Rebbe is learning pshat in the Ma'ariv vidui, it's ki'ilu. Now, here's the thing. If we start taking the Rebbe to mean before it says, it would come out. Now, remember, by the Shulamim, it sounds right. By Shulamim, you can't eat it already at Shkia. So Oral Yom Gimel is mamish after Shkia before it says. The Masir Masuas could also be that. According to this, this sounds like it's telling you don't wait for Zman Kriyeshmach, right? Don't wait for says for Ma'ariv on Kol Nidrei night, because there's an inyan to have your vidui of your Ma'ariv as much of the day as possible to get it in. Now if you do the Ramban, maybe you have it from that, so that you already entered in Tshuva, could be. The Rebbe doesn't have it exactly like the Ramban has it, but he says that's the inyan of the Or. Lamaisa, there is a machokas pshat in the Rebbe, but they have all these indications in the Rebbe pashtas that are at Shkia. I have a bit of two Rashis I want to show you on this also. In terms of Hamapeles Or Lishmona Be'echad, what did Beis Hillel say? That im Shiva lo be'damim lo yishva lo be'karba. So I ask you, what was the time of Beis Hillel? That the damim that shall have an or lishmona be'echad are no longer called damim of dam tohar. At what point is the dam not called dam tohar? After tseis or after shkia? Okay, find it in the Rashi at shkia. Look, it's mamish in the Rashi. Rashi dibur hamaschil im shiva lo betuma lo yashuv yishva lo lekarban. Look at the Rashi with me. V'od raya acheres, ho v'shamer lo l'tuma, sh'ad shkiyas hachama shal shmonim dameh ha-tahorim. V'mtira l'acha shkiyas hachama dameh ha-tmei. So what's the Furish in Rashi? That the time of Beis Hillel, that it should be the same thing as Badan, that it's no longer considered like the day before Gabi Dan, so too by carbon, it's a new machayiv in carbon. What does Rashi say the cutoff is? The cutoff is shkiyas hacham. That's one Rashi. The other Rashi, and it struck me now, Pshat in this Rashi, it's strange, what does Rashi mean? Dibur HaMaschel, based on the base, Rashi Dibur HaMaschel Urtahu. This is going on the, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that the time for the Issa Melacha starts, right, Mishas HaUr. So the Gemara used that as a Raya, that Alma Ur, the Kamar of Yaakov, Urtahu, because the Yehuda says, Neitzachamos, and Gemara says, it must be, he meant, Urtahu, says Rashi. So what would that mean? Urtahu, that you can't do malacha from when, according to this, from when can you do malacha the night of your dalit? Says Rashi, Urtahu, Lashon Rashi, Mishachashecha, V'shakachama, Shushkosha Asa. What's Rashi doing for us? What does Rashi want? I mean, I understand, the night is the night. Mishachashecha, V'shakachama, Shushkosha Asa. Rashi is emphasizing, L'chara, that the Issa Melacha, a Laila of Leil Yedalit, would be from Shkia, not from Tzeis. So that's Rashi's doing it. Okay, when Rashi's saying it because of the Rebbe, I'm not connecting necessarily, but the two Rashi's that indicate that the cutoff when it comes to Laila, is going to be at Shkia. Even though, remember, the Gemara based on the Aleph, in Tosefta Kochavim is Yom. Right? But yet, you see there's a, you know, there is this inyan. Look, there's a famous, in terms of davening, you know, there's a lot of inyanim, of course, people daven often in Bino Tamsman or whatever, so technically if you go Bino Tam all the way, you could daven Mincha quite a while after Shkia. But not so pashut. The Bino Yonah says that Tamsha ben Arbayim would only be brought into Shkia, even if you technically is Laila afterwards. That was a special din by Tamsha ben Arbayim. The Shkia Sachama, the Dam is Nifsa, the Shkia Sachama, and therefore that's a special halacha for Karbanos. Lemaisa, this is the Ravid. This is the Ravid's interesting sheet of the Ravid and how it plays out for Bedikas Chametz. Questions? Okay, let's go a little weiter in the Gemara. Okay, so this is one piece of the Inyan that we have, Inyan of Lashna Malia, Lashna Kiya, Lashna Sach, and the word Or. Continues the Gemara. So that's the statement Shul Belevi. Now we have another statement of a Braisa. Tanya Devei Rabbi Yishmael. La'olam yisaper adam the lashon nekiya. See here, the lashon nekiya emphasizes lashon nekiya. The person should always speak the lashon nekiya. And what's the proof to that? Sharei bezav kira'o merkav ubeisha kira'o moshev. So there's a halacha in Parshas Mitzora about the inyan of tumas zav and zava. And we know in the beginning of Masechet Kehilah and Tosfos, we'll discuss more of the details. There's a hierarchy of tuma, avos hatumos, one higher than the other. Lemalo mizeh. So there's a tuma called Merkav and a tuma called Moshe. Now let's take a look at the psukim. Rashi here just gives us an inkling of it. So the observation is made that when it comes to a woman, the Torah uses Lashon Moshav, and when it comes to Zav, the Torah uses Lashon Merkav. What does Rashi say? B'Zav k'siv, b'chol ha-merkav ha-shayirkav, u'b'isha k'siv ol al-akliya shehi yosheves, l'fi she'en hogan l'haski rechiva, u'pisuk raglayim b'isha. In other words, the Lashon of rechiva would already suggest that there's one foot on one side of the animal, or whatever it is that's sitting on, whatever the thing is, one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. And then you have the Lashon Rechiva not used by Isha, because Rechiva has that suggestion, and the Inyan of Pisak Ragayim is an Inyan of Tznius, not to use that expression for Isha. The Apisha Merkav Amosav Shavin Bishneim, even though Merkav and Moshav are equal. Now, at first glance, that sounds like the din is the same, but it's not correct. Yes, Arya.
I don't know if this is worth noting, but I find it kind of ironic that the first line we said, before we said somebody shouldn't speak in a not nice way, and now we're only speaking in a nice way.
Right, now it's a positive. Yeah, there's a formula. Right, before was avoiding Lashon Meguna.
Is there something to that?
Yeah, so that will get to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Baal HaMor. There's going to be possible distinctions between Lashon Meguna and Lashon Nekiya. Right, in terms of the Gemara on the base. According to Rashi, may not actually... Rashi agreed that Laila was not a Lashon Meguna, but in terms of the trade-off between Lashon Kitzara versus Lashon Meguna, Rashi is going to learn that that's also true. The Lashon Kitzara can also outweigh Lashon Meguna. However, Rabbeinu Yonah, that we're going to get to, if not today, tomorrow, and the Baal HaMor, is going to be distinguishing between the two. There's Lashon Nekiya versus not Lashon Nekiya, but that doesn't make it Lashon Meguna. And that already, you can look at Lashon Kitzara as having equal value or more. When it comes to Lashon Meguna, that should be avoided at all costs. The psukim, just to show you the differences in halacha, and it's going to come up in Tosfos. So you have the pasuk of Merkav. So by Zav. Kol ha-merkav, this is test Vav. That's Merkav. Rashi says, what does that mean? Rashi and Chumash, Alpha Pishilo Yashav Alav. Those Merkav is a part that you would hold on to. Let's say he's on the horse or whatever, and there's like something in front of him that he's grabbing onto. That's called Merkav. Kigona Tafus Shosarga, Tomei Mishum Merkav. The ha'ukaf, that's the saddle, Rashi gives a French word, tamei tumas moshav. Now there's a difference in halacha, because tumas moshav is higher in that it's mitami begadim, and tumas merkav is not. So at first glance it's a little misleading in the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like the halachas are the same, and the Torah uses a lashon merkav for a man by tumav zav, and by Zava, for the dam that Tamei Har, the Torah uses a lashon of yeshiva. But L'maisa, the halacha is that they're different. And Bein Moshav and Bein Merkav and Mitamei, each one in its own level, for Isha and Ish. So that those details will get way for Tosis. But either way, the point is well taken, that the Torah uses the word Merkav by a Zav explicitly. But it comes to a Zava, the Torah uses a lashon yeshiva. So that was the chidush of Tanit of Ishmael. The Torah didn't want to use a lashon that has a suggestion of pisag ragayim. This is not meguna. This is just lashon nekia. Again, it's a sensitive. Whenever you speak about sensitive in yonim, so you should be that sensitive to, you know, how you express it is, you know, very much reflection of the sensitivity that we're thinking about. Says then it continues in the brayso with further psukim to this idea. The omer. It says in the pasuk v'tivcha lashon arumin. This is by Eob, the Chaveim said to Eob, you should choose, you've chosen Russian Arumin, smart language. The Omer, a different pasuk in Eob, das fasai bara milu. The knowledge, the language of your lips is very clear. So what are we quoting these three psukim about? Rashi says, Russian Arumin, mitzvah lechakach, it's a mitzvah. V'tivcha Russian Arumin. Bara milu, Russian nokim mivur, clear. My v'omer. Rashi, lama lo v'omer, hanavka lemi mekama, already had the proof from the earlier psukim. Says the Gemara, v'chi teim ahani mili b'doraisa, b'dorabonan lo, maybe only b'doraisa, the Torah's makbin a lashon nekia, but maybe the chachamim in a mishnah b'raisa don't have to be makbin a lashon nekia. So that's why it says the second pasuk, tashma v'omer v'tivcha lashon arumim. Okay, the Chachamim, for a halacha in the Mishnah, the Braisa, of a mila di alma, stamu, you're speaking generally, lo, but omer, that's why you have the other pasuk, the das fase bar milu. Rashi, hachi kam, my v'omer, we said, hachi, the chitay mahani with the Raisa, Torah ikpida, v'lishona, she yotza bi'avura, the words of the Torah from Kim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ava chachonin, the Mishnah, v'raisa, ein lahakpid al'lishona, they don't have to be as careful. Tashma, v'tivcha lashon arumin, shamanu sheha'arumin bochri lashon hem. The arumin, the chachonin, choose their language. There's a mashah here in the Chiddush Yagadis, it's a little tight in the words. Arumin are the chachonin, he says, ani chachma shachanti orma. And Sfasai is a lashon mila di alma, even not the chachamim. That's Sfasai. Fact the Gemara. So you're telling me that by Isha you don't use a lashon of Moshav, only Merkav. How could that be? Ubi Isha loksid by Merkav. I have a pasuk that says a lashon Merkav, a chiva by a woman. Loksid by Taka Mivka v'Naroseha, by Tikavna al Hagmalim. So it talks about when she's leaving from Haran to get married, to go back to Yitzchak with Eliezer, and says that she and her naros, they rode Lashon Rechiva al Hagmalim. So you see that there's a Lashon Rechiva used for a woman. And for the Gemara, Hasam Mishum Biasusa de Gemalim Urchehi. Because it's a little bit scary when you're riding on the camels, therefore it's the norm that they should be riding in this manner of Pisak Ragaim, so the Torah is not going to change the Metzias. Rashi says, Yisusa de Gemalim Shehi Gavoa, the camels are high up, you could fall. Mesiare Shelo Tipo. So Urcha de Isha, Urcha means it's the derech of the woman, Lirkov. Kadesha de Makzekis Bobi Adayim Ragaim, she has to hold on. So Maisa, what you see in the Gemara's Teretz is, if that's what it was, the Torah is not going to change the storyline because of the Lashon Nekia component. That's what it was, that's what Torah says. Frank the Gemara, another pasuk, the Aksiv, this is in Parsha Shmos, by Yikach Moshe, Ishto Vesbanov, by Akivim Al-Chamor, he steps back to Mitzrayim, and he puts his wife and his children, by Akivim, he had them all riding, Rechiva Al-Chamor. So here you see even by his wife, by Zipporah, is a Lashon Rechiva. And for the Gemara, Hasam Mishum Banav Urchavu. So what is the teretz? Mishum banav urchel. So Rashi apparently didn't have the gears to urchel. Rashi says mishum banav shein zacharin kasev lashon rechiva. From Rashi's mashma, the Gemara's teretz is that the lashon vayakibim is going on the banav, not going on the isha. That's Rashi's pshat. The gears that we have. Shimban of Urchel, so someone is saying means she has to make sure that the kids are safe, they're little. So she has to ride Lashon in a manner Pitzigim Gun because she's not going to be able to hold them well unless she rides that way. So Urchel is the derech of the Isha because she has to watch the children. That's not the Rashi saying. Rashi's saying, Mishayim Zacharim Kasav Lashon Rechiva. It's a different pshat. Femtigamar Valksiv. Another pasuk that has a Lashon Rechiva by a woman. What's the pasuk here? V'hi rocheves ala chamor. So where is this pasuk? This is by Abigail. Let's get a little bit of our bearings. Some of you all know Tanakh very well, but always kedai to have a little bit of chazara. What's going on the story? It's in Shmuel. This pasuk is where? V'hi rocheves, v'hi rocheves ala chamor. No, where's this pasuk? Shmuel Aleph Chav Hei. Yeah. Maybe you got the wrong Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph on the shelf? Look at that to bring. So what's the story? There was a woman in Abigail. Her husband had a name that obviously reflected his poor character. What was her husband's name? Who knows? That was the story? No? What was Abigail's husband? It could be, yeah, they have this. They have this set over there, I think. No?
Yeah.
Either one. Whatever. It's fine. Whatever you have is good.
Still
so no, who was her husband?
That is right.
No, chevra. I mean, listen. Don't you have to take courses in what they call Bible? No. They only do the machronim. Well, it's talking about the yomah, by the way. Thank you. Erev Rosh Hashanah. The story according to Chazal is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Give more Rosh Hashanah on this also. Yeah, I'll read you that. Yeah. What's the story there? Let's take a look. David HaMelech sent some people to Nabal. He was making a party. His husband's name was Nabal. Abigail was a tzaddikus, one of the vios, Gemara says in Megillah. There was a man named Nabal, Shema Ish Nabal, and he was making a shearing party for his sheep. They used to do that. V'shem Ish to Abigail, V'isha, this is Chav Hei, Kapitul Chav Hei in Shmuel. V'isha Toba Seichel V'yipas Toar, V'ish Kasha V'ram Malolim. In other words, she was a tzaddikus, and he was mamish, like his name, Nabal. Vayishma David v'amidbar, he goes his Nabal sono. David heard that Nabal was making the shearing party. He sent 10 people, and he sent a beautiful message to Nabal. And his words of his message, we have this in our Siddur Mosi Shabbos, v'amartem kol l'choy. What comes afterwards? No? Who says v'iten l'cha? V'amartem kol l'choy. Nobody says v'itan l'cha here? From all the people here in the shir, nobody? No? Now, Martin Kalachai, no. Ve'ata, shalom, ubeischa, shalom, b'chor shalucha shalom. That's the pasuk here in Shmuel Aleph Chafet. David greets him in a beautiful way. Martin Kalachai, you should have, it should be for you next year, a similar thing, to have a party to shir, and it should be good. Everything should be good for you. What happens? I hear you're making a party. We were nice to your shepherds. You should be nice to us. Meanwhile, they came back to David with the report. I'm sorry, David, Nabal responds to Abdi David, Mi David mi ben Yishai, Hayom Rabu Avadim Hamisparchim Ish Mipnei Adon. If he was very rude to Abdi David, he refused to supply anything to these people, to these Narim. Basically, they returned to David empty-handed, and they told him what happened. David considers to be a Mori B'malchus. David was ready to kill Nabal. Vayomer David la'anashav, Chigu ish escharbo, Vayachu ish escharbo, Vayachu gam David escharbo. 400 people, 200 people behind, Alakalim, 400 people with David ready for war. V'la'abigayil eshes Nabal, Higid narecha me'hana'arim le'emar, Hinei shalach David na'lachem me'hamidbar le'borech es Adonainu, V'yoad b'hem, he was chutzpedik. And they were very nice, and we treated them in this way. So Abigail knew she had to do something to stop David from shedding blood. Vatemar Abigail, Vatikach Masayim Lechem, Mishnayim Nivrayayim, she took all kinds of goodies, and she put it on the donkeys. Vatomer Lenareha, Ibru, Lefanai, I'm behind you. She didn't tell her husband anything. V'hayehi Rocheves Alachamor, here's our pasuk. V'hayehi Rocheves Alachamor, V'yoredes, we need this for the Gemara's context, V'yoredes B'seser Hahar, she's going down the part of the mountain that's very concealed. David and his people are going down toward her, and she meets them. Showdown. David is bent on killing Nava with his people. They meet. You can imagine how dramatic the encounter is. David says, "Vayashav lira tachas tova kol yasad elkim va'ive David kol Yosef." By the next morning, nobody will be left. All the male will be killed out. Sounds like, when did this happen? By the next morning, he's going to be dead. Sounds like this is nighttime. And he starts talking to David. And she persuades David to hold back. Al no yosim adoni esliba ish habliyal hazel novo ki kishmo ken hu novo shimo unavala imo vani amascha lo raisi. I didn't see these people, and I would have not treated them the way he did. Ba'ata adoni chay Hashem chaynafshecha Hashem inoach Hashem ibo v'damin v'hoshe yotchalach. And therefore, she basically makes the case to David. There's a lot to learn here, obviously. Son of Efesha Masecha. And he also yasa Hashem Adoni bayis neman. You've heard the expression bayis neman b'Yisrael. This is Abigail's words to David. Hashem will establish for you bayis neman ki machamos Hashem Adoni nilcham. And this Shaul came to kill you, pursue you. V'hayis nefesh avid tzur b'tzor hachayim. Another famous expression is Hashem olkecha. Basically, don't do it. It's not worth it. V'yomer David Abigail. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Asher Shelachei Chayom Hazeh L'Krasi. Baruch is Hashem, we sent you to me at this point. Ubaruch Tamech, Ubrucha At, Asher Kivisini Hayom Hazeh Mibo B'damim. The Ulami says, okay, if had you not done it, by the morning, that would have been it. No one would have Kiyom Nosa, Renavo, Arbok, and Mashtim Bekir. And he took what she brought. At the end, okay, what's the end of the story, Abosai? What's the end of the story? She comes back to Navo. He's totally stupor, drunk, everything. She didn't tell him anything till the morning. In the morning, when he gets over his hangover, she tells him what happened, that he was almost killed. Vayomes libo bekirbo b'oyol oven. Next pasuk. Vayi kaseres hayomim. Vayiga fashemes Navo vayomos. What were those aseres hayomim? Rashi. Two pshatim. One is Shmuel had just died, so we waited for Shmuel's Shiva. It shouldn't get mixed with the Tsar of Shmuel. And then 3 more days he got sick and he died. Rabbi Seinu Amru Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, in the sugyas of the din of Rosh Hashanah, Rashi quotes the Gemara, Eru Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Shehimtin Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyachzav Et Tshuva. That's why it's in Yonah Dioma. 10 days, Nava was dead. Hashem gave Maaseres Yemei Tshuva, and he didn't obviously seize the opportunity. Back to the Gemara, Rabbosai. V'aksiv v'hi rocheves ala chamor. No, so you have rechiva by a woman. So more a few answers. Hasa mishum b'yasusa d'leilia. Urchahu. It was nighttime. How do you know it's nighttime? David says, by the morning, there won't be anyone left. That's yasusa d'leilia. V'ibar yaseima mishum b'yasusa d'leilia leka, meaning the Maharsha says, maybe it was by day, but David figured, you know, and then till he gets to him or whatever, it's going to be the next day, whatever, next through the night, whatever. So then, Mishum Yisusa de Davidika, David HaMelech, you know, it was scary for her, it was intimidating. She had to ride that way because of David. By the way, at the end of the story, David ends up marrying Abigail. That she was one of the wives of David after Nabal died. The Yisema, Yisusa de David, Namilecha, Mishum Yisusa de Harika, to say so Har. Okay, Rashi, that's it. No Rashi. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here, Bosai. Have a wonderful day. Any questions?
recording has stopped.
Yes.
I should remember.